morning, everyone. How are you? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious not only to the one who speaks, but also to those who hear. And open our ear that we can hear the wonderful thing that's written, not only in the law, but also in the gospel. And help us to understand through the help of the Holy Spirit, and enable us to not only be the hearer of your word, and also be a doer of your word, so that indeed we be truly blessed by you all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a good news, not only in the New Testament. Actually, that good news start from Old Testament. And the Bible clearly stated that all are under sins, as it is recorded in Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin. Before we come to know Jesus Christ, before our Lord Jesus Christ save our soul, I say our soul, okay? Before the Lord save our soul, we are all under sin. Secondly, in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law say, it say to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silent and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Before we come to know Jesus Christ, before the Lord save our soul, first of all, number one, we are all under sin. Secondly, we are all under law. That is before we come to know Jesus Christ. No exception. After we come to know Jesus Christ, the whole situation turned around. Because the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us. Now, after you know Jesus Christ, we are all under grace. So I will spend some time talk about what kind of grace do we receive after our Lord Jesus Christ saved our soul. First of all, the Lord saved our soul first, and then in His second coming, He can save our body. Then we will be adopted as sonship. I say that one more time. The Lord saved our soul, saved our spirit first. Now, the moment you come to know Jesus, your soul and your spirit are saved. But your body hasn't been saved yet. You have to wait until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to spend some time talk about what do we have when we are all under grace. Number one, we have righteousness. That righteousness is not by the law. This righteousness is from God by faith through grace. Isn't it what the Bible say? Before, chapter 3, verse 10, in Romans, there's no one righteous, not even one. Before, no one righteous, not even one. We don't have righteousness, okay? But after our soul was saved, our spirit was saved, all are righteous in God's sight. I want you to turn to Romans, chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. You write that down. 3:21-26. The moment we come to know Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ gave us his righteousness. In verse 21, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophet testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ, come to all who believe, no exception. In other words, before we are all under sin, we are all under the law. Now we are all received righteousness from God. Righteousness from God. How do I get righteousness from God? Two things. By grace. Second thing, through faith. That's how we get righteousness from God. Verse 22, this righteousness from God comes to all who believe. This righteousness will not be given to those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. This righteousness only comes to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, let's say if you say, oh, I come to all who believe in God, you have to write down who is God. Some other religion, they believe in God too. So you have to be very, very specific. Okay? The righteousness from God only comes to all who believe in Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says there's no difference. No difference between Jews or Gentiles. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So justification, righteousness, all this freely received by grace through faith. Faith in the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25. God presented Jesus Christ as the sacrifice of atonement. I want you to look at the footnotes. What does it mean by sacrifice of atonement? The Bible translates this way. God presented Jesus Christ as the one who would turn aside God's wrath, taking away sin. We're supposed to be all under sin. He take away the sin, take away God's wrath, and transport us, transfer us from under law to under grace. That's God's salvation. God presented Jesus Christ as the one who would turn aside His wrath, taking away sin through faith in His blood. In His blood, that means through faith in His death. He died for us. The wrath of God has already come upon Jesus Christ. So that's why He can turn away God's wrath. Instead of fall upon us, it's fall upon Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus Christ feel like, what did He say? My God, why have you forsaken me? When the wrath of God fall upon Him because of our sins. Then He turned aside the wrath of God. The wrath of God will not be upon us anymore. Right beside the footnote, turn aside His wrath. I want you to write that down. Chapter 1, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Before we are saved, we are all under sin, we are all under law, that means we are all under God's wrath. Because of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His blood, we were purchased. No more God's wrath, no more sin. We are not under sin anymore. we are under grace. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance, He has left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Those people who live in the Old Testament, those people who hasn't heard about who Jesus Christ is, they just heard about the word of the Lord, and they sinned against God, but God did not punish them. All this punishment fall upon Jesus. Verse 26. He did this to demonstrate His justice. His justice means if you sin against God, He will punish you. Instead of punishing you because you believe in Jesus Christ, He can take away your sin. He can take away God's wrath. Now the wrath of God fall upon Him. Our sin fall upon Him. He wash it away. He make it clean. And that's how we are saved. He did this to demonstrate His justice at the present time. That means God will do what He said. So as to be just, God is just. If He is not just, He cannot be the judge of the whole world. Right beside just, you write down, chapter 3, verse 5. But if our unrighteousness bring out God's righteousness more clearly, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing His wrath on us? I am using a human argument. Certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? If God is unjust, He cannot judge the world. He is a just God, because He will punish sin. Either you allow Him to punish you, or you allow God to punish His own Son, to crush His own Son, to crucify His own Son, to inflict punishment upon His life. You make that decision. You want to take it yourself, or you want Jesus Christ to take it. So as to be just. Secondly, so as to be the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Righteousness, this righteousness is not from man. This righteousness is from God. How do we receive God's righteousness? It's by grace through faith. I want you to circle the word in chapter 3, verse 24. The word justified, or the word justification, is the same word as righteousness. We are credited with God's righteousness freely, in verse 24, by His grace. And then in verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith. You write that? 3:22, 3:24 right here. By grace, you write down 3:24. By faith, you write down 3:22. I say that one more time. We receive God's righteousness. We have to confess before God, I'm not righteous. I'm not justified. You are just. You're not only just, you can judge me because you are just God. And you also justify those who have faith in Jesus Christ. So now that I receive the righteousness from God, by faith, through grace, okay? Or by grace, through faith. Same thing. Secondly, under grace, what do we receive? Number two, I receive inheritance. How do I receive inheritance? It's by grace through faith. If I receive inheritance by grace through faith, nothing I can boast about. If I have to boast, I boast in the Lord. If I have to boast, I boast in the Christ cross, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Romans chapter 4, 13 to 17. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath. That wrath is the wrath of God. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Verse 16. Therefore the promise come by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and call things that are not as though they were. Second thing, what do we receive? If we are under grace, we receive inheritance. Right beside inheritance, I would like you to write down. We not only be able to receive inheritance in the millennium kingdom, that means in 1,000 years in the kingdom of God on earth, we also receive the inheritance in the new heaven and new earth, forever and ever. But now, I don't want to talk about the new heaven, new earth inheritance, because I don't have enough time. I just want to talk about the millennium kingdom inheritance. I thank God that saved Paul. Ananias, when Jesus Christ approached to Ananias in Acts chapter 9, that righteous man refused to deliver Paul. He said, Paul is the one who comes to persecute us. But Jesus tell him, you go. He is my noble instrument. And I'm glad. Paul turned around and read the scripture and reveal things to us that we do not notice. We all read the scripture, but we all don't understand. That is exactly what Paul said. Would you please turn back to chapter 3? Before we come to know Jesus Christ, in verse 11, there is no one who understands and no one who seeks God. This is a truthful statement. No one who understands, no one who seeks God. Right after Paul come to know Jesus in chapter 9 of the book of Acts, he start seeking God. And he start to understand God's will. How do I know that? In Galatians chapter 1, the Bible says, Jesus Christ loved his servant Paul so much, Jesus Christ revealed the gospel, revealed the good news personally to Paul. On top of that, God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, revealed the truth also to Paul, so that he knows God's will. He knows God's word, because he seeks God and God be gracious to him and reveal it to him. Now, what I'm going to say. I'm going to explain chapter 3, verse 21. I know a lot of people, they don't understand these Bible verses. If they don't understand chapter 3, verse 21, they will not understand chapter 4, verse 13. I want you to write that down. 3:21, you write down 4:13. Write down 4:13, you write down 3:21. Especially right beside 3:21, right beside apart from law. Right beside apart from law, you write down 4:13, not through law. Right beside chapter 4:13, not through law, that means apart from law. So in order for me to explain, we have to go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 and verse 7 is the most beautiful Bible verses regarding the good news, regarding the gospel. If it is not because of Paul, I would not understand that. But it's because of Paul, I start to understand God's will. You and I know that. When do we have the law? Capital letter L, law means the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. These first five books call capital letter L, law. But in the Chinese Bible, you won't see that. In the English one, it's good because he helps us to understand. There's a capital letter L and a small letter L. The small letter L talk about the Ten Commandments. That is because in Exodus chapter 20. Brother and sister, I would like you to know one thing. Genesis chapter 15 verse 6 is before Exodus chapter 20. In Abraham's time, Moses wasn't even born yet. So there's no law. So that's why Paul say, apart from the law. Not through law. So in other words, Abraham believed in the promise of God that his descendant, his offspring, is just as numerous as the star in the sky. That statement, he believed in it. When he believed in it, God say, I credited you with righteousness. I give you righteousness. I justify you by faith because you believe in my word. At that time, he didn't even have one son. No. At that time, how long has he been following God? He followed God ever since he was 75. Now he's 85 already. 10 years. He don't even have one son. But he believed that his son will be numerous. It is very difficult to believe, and yet he believed. God said, if you believe, I credited you with righteousness. I justify you freely by faith. Because I will redeem you. You believe in that? I'm going to carry it out. The most important thing is verse 17. Chapter 15, verse 7. Circle the word. Also. Once God credited Abraham as righteousness, God also said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possessions of it. In other words, once he has the righteousness from God, once he was justified freely by grace through faith, God gave him a bonus by grace through faith too. I give you an inheritance. You and your children gonna take possession of the promised land. Where does it say? Go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. On that day, the Lord make a covenant with Abraham and said, I want you to write that down. When the Lord make a covenant with Abraham and said, this is not a covenant of Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, we don't have an Old Testament yet. You remember the law? It's in Exodus chapter 20. Genesis chapter 15 is before the law. Apart from the law. Not through the law. Right? God make a covenant based upon promise. Has nothing to do with the law. Because the law bring wrath. If we are under law, we will be all in deep trouble. We are under God's wrath, we are under God's sin. But we are under our own sins, right? Okay? Now, let me read that. Verse 18, chapter 15. On that day, the Lord make a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendant, I give this land. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. Euphrates is in Babylon now. Okay? So, what do I get? If you have the righteousness from God, you will have the inheritance from God. They come hand in hand. Because God not only gave him righteousness in verse 6, the Lord also say to him, I give you the inheritance. So, what the Bible clearly tells us that what? Once you believe in Jesus Christ, you keep on following him, you're going to receive inheritance. You'll be able to enter in the millennial kingdom. You understand? But you have to follow the footsteps of Abraham. And how do I see that? Is it because I'm good to see that? No, it's not because I'm good. Because I'm seeking God. Because I read the Bible. I want you to turn back in chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 13. It was not through law. It was not through law. That means it's apart from the law. Before the law, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. Abraham will be the heir of the world. Heir of the world, you write down, Genesis 15:7. And then his offspring will receive the heir of the world. You write down, 16, chapter 4, verse 16. 16:13. 16:16. 16:13. 16:16. You write down here. Chapter 4, 13 and 16. The inheritance. Not only Abraham received, also his offspring will receive. And then I want to circle the word his offspring. You don't need to be a Jew in order to receive that. If you're a Gentile, and you claim Abraham to be your father, and you believe the same thing that he believed, what did Abraham believe in chapter 4, verse 17? He believed that God can raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And what did he believe? God can raise him from the dead. God can raise his wife from the dead. God can raise his son Isaac from the dead in Genesis chapter 22. He believed that God is a powerful God. On top of that, he believed that God can call things that are not as if they were. It's not there, but he said, let there be light, boom, there's light. When you see that, nothing there. But when he said it, and there was there. That kind of God that he believed. If you follow that, even though you're Gentile, you still can become Abraham's offspring. Secondly, what do I see? I see in verse 13, chapter 4, it was not through law Abraham and his offspring received the promise
that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that come by faith. In other words, if you have Genesis chapter 15, 6, if you have the righteousness from God, just like Abraham received righteousness from God, if you have that, you guarantee you have the inheritance. Do you see what I see now? Do you? You don't see. I know. You're too young. You know what? Truly speaking, not very many people understand the book of Romans. Okay? That's a fact of life. Because no one seek him, no one understands. You know, tell me something I understand. You know what? If you don't read the Bible, a lot of things you don't understand. Paul, using chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5 to explain the Genesis, chapter 15. Let's go back. Chapter 3, verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophet testify. Can anyone, I'm going to give you a prize. Can anyone explain to me chapter 3, verse 21? Can anyone explain to me what does it mean by a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophet testify. The capital letter, the law. The law means Genesis testify. But in Genesis time, there's no law. But because Moses wrote the first five books, the law stands for Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Apart from the law, that means before Moses, I want you to write beside, apart from the law, you write down, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17. Law come from Moses. Grace and truth come from Jesus Christ. So at that time, Moses wasn't even born yet. For the law was given to us through Moses in Exodus. And grace and truth came to us through Jesus Christ. Go back to that. Chapter 3, verse 21, Roman. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. In other words, apart from the law, you write down, is Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. At that time, it's apart from the law. Who make that law? The law make it known. Who make it known? Moses in Genesis make it known. And then the Bible say, the prophet testified. Who is that prophet? I want you to write that down. Prophet Abraham and Prophet David. But I'm not going to explain it. I just give you the hint. I expect you to go and study. If you want to further understand, you can ask. Write down Genesis chapter 20, verse 7. God say, Abraham is a prophet. Prophet Abraham testified, because if he didn't testify, he won't pass it on to Isaac. If he didn't testify, Isaac won't pass it on to Jacob. If he didn't testify, he won't pass it on to the people of Israel. Turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 30. The Bible says,
Peter say? Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 30. King David is the prophet. Right beside is the prophet, you write down Psalm 32. And that's the answer. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophet testify. In other words, Moses is a prophet. He testified. He testified in the law, in the Genesis, and Abraham is a prophet. He testified in Genesis chapter 20. And also King David testified. He's a prophet. He testified that a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. So in other words, the good news about the righteousness from God is not only in the New Testament, the good news starting from the Old Testament. That is righteousness. Now, chapter 4, verse 13, that is inheritance. To inherit, to take possession of the promised land. Abraham, he's dead, and he's now in the third heaven, waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then he will be resurrected. When he's resurrected, he will take possession of the inheritance, enter into the millennial kingdom. That is the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 15 say, that is the kingdom of God, kingdom of Israel. 30. What do we receive when we are under grace? Number 3. We receive kingship. We will reign in life. I read that to you. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 21. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sins. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam, who was their pattern of the one to come. Verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many die by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace, circle the word God's grace, I want you to circle the verse 15, the gift. How much more did God's grace and the gift, circle that word, God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. Brother and sister, if you want to receive God's grace comes by faith, by grace through faith. That kingship, you reigning is by what? By grace through faith. I read that one more time. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Verse 16. Again, the gifts of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. I want to circle the word, the result of one man's sin. Right beside the result, I want you to write that down. Chapter 3, verse 23. Once we sinned against God because of that one man's sin, and then all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. I want you to write that down. When you fall short of the glory of God, what do you lose? You lose the righteousness from God. You lose the inheritance from God. You lose the kingship from God.
you lose everything. That's what it means by all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You lost everything.
Go back chapter 5.
Again, verse 16, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. When the Lord Jesus Christ judged you, condemned you, then you lost everything. But the gifts follow many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, that's Adam, that reigned through that one man, how much more will those, I want to circle the words 5:17, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provisions of grace and who receive God's abundant provisions of the gift of the righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Who are they? The one who received God's abundant provision of grace. I want you to write beside God's abundant provision of grace. Where is it? Right here. Right beside here. You write down John chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another. When you lose it, you lose them all. When you get it, you're going to get them all. That's why Gospel of John, Apostle John saying that from the fullness of His grace, 1:16, we have received one blessing after another. One blessing of God's righteousness, one blessing of we're going to take possession of the inheritance that God given it to us, God promised to Abraham, and also promised to his offspring. And also, those people who receive abundant provisions of God's grace, abundant provision of God's gifts, these kind of people, who are they? We are the one. We are the one who receive that. Okay? So we can reign. I want to read that to you in my interpretation. Chapter 5, verse 17. If by the trespass of the one man Adam, that reigned through that one man, how much more will we who receive God's abundant provisions of grace, and how much more will we who receive abundant provision of the gifts of righteousness, how much more will we reign in life by the one man Jesus? Brother and sister, if you can live a holy life, it's not because you are good. You can live a holy life because of that one man Jesus Christ. Okay? If you live a holy life, that means you reign in life, not by yourself. You reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ. You write that down. It's by grace. It's through faith. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through faith. Verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of that one man Adam, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. Verse 20. The law was added. Exodus chapter 20. The law was added so that the trespass may increase. But where sins increase, grace increase all the more. So that just as sins reign in death through Adam, so also grace may reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Who can reign? We can reign. Who are we?
We are the one who receive abundant provisions of God's grace. Who are we? We are the one who receive abundant provision of God's gifts. When God being gracious to you, you can live a holy life. He's going to keep on blessing you. When He keep on blessing you, you have the strength to do it. Where does it say? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Verse 9, what did the Bible say? It is good for us to be strengthened in faith by grace. It is good for our heart to be strengthened by what? By grace. That grace, you write that down, is abundant provisions of grace. Paul is the one who received this kind of grace, one after another. John is the one who received this kind of grace. Hey, John is unschooling. He never go to school. Okay, he's a poor guy. He's a fisherman. Okay? And yet, they receive abundant provisions of God's grace. And they know God's will. And they tell us what we receive. Three things we receive by grace through faith. Number one, righteousness from God. Apart from the law, is under grace we receive. So that is the three gifts. Second, inheritance. We're going to take possession of the land in the kingdom of God on earth. On top of that, we're going to inherit the new heaven and new earth. Thirdly, we will reign in life. We will not allow sin to rule over us. Why? Because God poured His grace upon us. He's so kind to you. He's so gracious to you. You receive so much blessing. You say, yes, I can do it. Brother and sister, I want to stop here. Because I will have to end at 10:30. Did I tell you the whole truth? No, I only tell you the partial truth. Because the Bible wasn't even chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. I only talk about chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 very selectively, right? A lot of people, they've gone astray because of that. So that's why Paul go on to continue to explain what does he mean by under grace. You understand? Don't ever pick and choose the thing that you love to believe. You understand? You believe everything. When you receive blessing, you receive what? The whole thing. Just like Psalm 130, with Him, 130, with Him, with the Lord, we receive full redemption. Not partial redemption, man. Not 13. The 30. Keep going. Verse 7. With the Lord is full redemption. Don't pick and choose it. Oh, I only want this, I don't want that. You are in deep trouble, man. You'll be led astray. I will tell you more. I will spend more time to dig deep into the book of Romans and together with all other books and what the other pastors say. I mean in the Old Testament and New Testament. Okay? And then we say, wow, now I see the big picture. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, hear my prayer and bless us. Thank you for giving us a free gift of righteousness from God and free inheritance. They come hand in hand. Because the Paul saying that if I receive the righteousness from God, guarantee we can receive the inheritance. Thank you, Jesus. And on top of that, because we receive so much blessing from you, we cannot help but serve you to live a godly life. We want to offer ourselves to you
so that we can reign in life, so that we allow grace to reign through righteousness. For sure, we're going to receive all these kind of blessings, one after another. I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.